If you turn with me in your Bibles to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. And we'll begin at verse 12. Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savour shall come up, because he has done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad, and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you the blessing of it, the way that you speak through it. Father, we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit that speaks to us. And Father, we thank you that we can hear your voice and we're your people. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would speak again by the Holy Spirit again this morning. Speak to our hearts, encourage us, bring us into that deeper place with you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have that exhortation in Philippians where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then there's that exhortation to rejoice, to know our joy in the Lord, to be glad in the Lord, and to have that shout of praise upon our lips. And that's, and it's just, this is what I want to just share this morning. That rejoicing, that being glad in the Lord. And just as an introduction, I think back to when I was first baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there I was amongst surrounded by other believers who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there was that real hunger for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and a real hunger and a desire. And I've spent this period of time, and I know many of you have heard this testimony before, and I was really seeking the Lord for the baptism. And then one Sunday morning after the meeting, I was just sat there praising the Lord, and then it just overflowed as I just began to speak in other languages. And the thing about it was this, at that moment, was just suddenly I had this joy in the Lord, just this bubbling up of gladness and just a rejoicing in the Lord that just couldn't be contained, because it was just an outpouring of joy of all the Lord had done for me. Just an absolute bubbling over. And it was, as it's been described, you know, like a brook that's bubbling. And suddenly it was pouring forth from me, this joy and this gladness. And I think sometimes that we think that, well, the joy of the Lord is something just to be concealed within our hearts. And yet, if we really have that joy in our hearts, if we really have that joy in the Lord, if that joy is our strength, then it cannot but overflow in our praise. As the psalmist says in Psalm 95, and he says this, he says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms." There's this pouring out of a joyful noise. And if it's a joyful noise, it cannot be something that is quiet. It has to just pour out from our hearts. What begins in our hearts comes forth from our lips. And it's just something that has happened within our hearts that then comes out. I think of how it says that in Luke's gospel, talking of how the rejoicing in heaven over one soul that is saved. And I cannot imagine that when one soul is saved, that it's a quiet rejoicing in heaven. I suggest that it's a real abundance of rejoicing. I have this sort of picture of all the angels just being astounded that a sinner can be saved and redeemed, and they're just glorifying the Lamb, and they're rejoicing, and they're saying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb." And they're saying, "What a wonderful sight to see one who was bound and one who was trapped and one who was lost in their sin, and now they're set free." And there's this great chorus amongst the angels of abundance of rejoicing, and such a thrill within the angels, and such a gladness within the angels as they see what the Lord has done. And as they see and they look down and they see, and they look down and they say, "That's the reward of the Lamb." And we see, "I've just what the Lamb has done." And there's just this gladness, there's this rejoicing, there's just this thrill within the angels and amongst the angels, and just pouring it forth, this rejoicing. And I cannot see how in heaven it's quiet when a soul is saved. It's a great abundance of noise. It's a shout, and it's a delight, and it's because they're in the presence of the Lamb, and they're in the presence of the Lamb, and they're looking down on a soul that has been saved, and they're astounded, and they're amazed, and they're glorifying the Lamb, and it reflects something of the angels, that they would make an abundance of noise and praise, and there's a joy. And the same should be of us as believers, that it should reflect our heart, that as we come into the presence of the Lord, that there's just such a gladness and a joy within our hearts, that it cannot be contained. It's often said of the Puritans that people often have this kind of picture of the Puritans of being dour and dry, and yet it was the exact opposite. They had such a rejoicing in their hearts. They had such a gladness in their hearts. They had just such a desire just to glorify the Lord. They had the joy that came forth and bubbled over from their hearts. That was they were the ones who had the possessor. They were the possessors of this wonderful joy that then bubbled over and caused them to glorify the Lord. And if the Lord is our joy, and Tom just mentioned it in the breaking of bread, the Lord is our joy. And if the Lord really is our joy, then when we come into His presence, whether it be alone, whether it be amongst the saints, that we cannot contain that joy, that gladness of that. If I can put it in a reverent way, that excitement of being in the presence of the Lord. There's a thrill by being in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord has made us to be people of emotion. He's made us to be people that have, as it were, consecrated emotions. Emotions that come and flow from what God has done in our hearts, that means that we can be thrilled by the presence of Jesus, excited by the presence of Jesus, and it causes our hearts to be lifted up and say, I cannot hold it in. I cannot hold the thrill of being of what Jesus has done for me. I cannot hold it in. Because when I think of just the greatness of what He's done for me, and so that exhortation, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, have that gladness, and so there are times where sometimes just at the beginning we just have to stir our hearts, and as we stir our hearts to worship, the Lord takes us into that deeper place of worship, so that our hearts are thrilled and our hearts are rejoicing and our hearts are glad and our hearts are lifted up. Sometimes it takes that place where we have to just press through. Sometimes it means that before the meeting, just coming and just spending that real time in the presence of the Lord, so that we're already rejoicing. We're walking into the meeting rejoicing, lifting up the name of the Lord already with a gladness in our hearts, and that as it were, our hearts are full of that spiritual wine. Full of that spiritual oil of the Holy Spirit. And then, so we see that the Lord is our joy, and it's out of that abundance of what the Lord has done for us and filled our hearts with Him that causes us to rejoice. But in looking at this passage in Joel, it says this. In verse 23, it says, and they've seen the trials, they've seen the drought, they've seen the locust attack the land, and we may feel as if in the past that we've been subject to the drought. We feel, may have felt as if we've been subject to the locusts and the attacks and all of these things, and the locusts stealing those years from us. But then it says in verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the month. He says, be glad and rejoice. And why are we to rejoice and why are we to be glad? Because of what he has already done. You see, we can look about us, and if we can't look and say, okay, what we're seeing amongst us is the moderate rain, but if that doesn't cause us to be glad and rejoice, then it won't bring us to the place where we're seeing the great things. You see, the Lord looks on and he says, do you see what I'm doing? Do you rejoice over, like the angels in heaven, do you rejoice over the souls being saved? Are you rejoicing? Are you glad? Are you rejoicing over what I am doing amongst you? Have you seen, this is the moderate rain. But is there a rejoicing in your heart? Is there a gladness in your heart? Is there a thrill in your heart at what I am doing? And there should be just such a stir in our hearts that says, the Lord is amongst us. We've seen last week that it says that unless the Lord builds a house, that we labour in vain. But seeing that the Lord is building the house, so therefore we're not labouring in vain. And he says, again to us, he says, look, I've given you the moderate rain. Are you rejoicing? Are you glad? Are you thrilled? Is there an excitement in your heart? Because the moderate rain is proof and evidence that the latter rain, the big shower, the mighty floods will come. But if you're not thrilled by my giving of the moderate rain, you will not be thrilled and not excited about the floods coming. If you're not excited about what I'm doing now, if you're not glad, if you're not rejoicing, if there's not an outpouring from your heart about what I'm doing now, then we cannot expect the latter rain to come. But he says, you've got so much to rejoice over because I am at work, and the angels are rejoicing in heaven over what's happening. They're thrilled. They're full of gladness. He says to us, are we thrilled? Are we rejoicing? Are we glad? Are we coming with an anticipation? When we come to the gospel meeting, are we coming with an anticipation and a rejoicing because God is doing something at work? He's doing something amongst us. And we say, I will be glad, I will rejoice, I will be thrilled at what God is doing. But he also says, he says this in verse 21, he says, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And just as we rejoice because of what God has already done, we look forward and rejoice at what God is going to do. And it says, the Lord will do great things. And that is the very reason and the motivation to rejoice. You see, if you really believe that God is going to do great things, you're going to already be rejoicing. Not just because of what he's done already, but because you have faith in your heart. Because you believe that God is going to do great things. You see, we can very easily hear the voice of God and hear the promises of God, and God speaking to us through words and through the preaching and through various means of what God is going to do. But the proof and the evidence that we really believe it is that we're going to be rejoicing even before it happens. We're going to be glad because we're going to be looking forward and saying, I'm rejoicing in the Lord because I know that he's going to do great things. I know what he's about to do. And therefore, because I know what he's about to do, I'm rejoicing. My heart is full of joy. I'm thrilled with what God is about to do. And there's a praise on my lips. And there's an overflowing within my heart. Because I just want to praise him. And I just want to say how much I love him. And how great the Lord is. And I will say that the Lord is great. Because he will do great things. And so there's that rejoicing that comes from our hearts. But it only comes when we really get hold of the reality that we believe that God is going to do great things. That the person who is glad is the person who has seen what God has already done. And the person who has seen what God is going to do, they've looked into the heavenlies. They've looked with the eye of faith. They've looked beyond the now and the present, and they've seen and beheld the things of the Spirit. And because of that, their hearts are glad, and because of that, their hearts are rejoicing, and their hearts are thrilled, and they come into the presence of the saints, and they come into the presence of God, and they're praising God already in anticipation of what God is about to do. And their hearts are thrilled, and they're already rejoicing with the angels over an anticipation of people being saved, of the backslider being restored, of God moving in power and by His Spirit in their locality. And as we see the, as it were, these young ones being saved, it's a down payment. And as it were, it's the evidence. It's the foretaste. It's the guarantee of the future of the further and greater blessing. And that is what thrills my heart, because I see that God is a great God who will do great things. And if I cannot rejoice and get excited And praise my God for that, I cannot praise and rejoice and get excited and be full of gladness about anything. Because if I cannot get excited and rejoice and thrilled and my heart be lifted up over the fact that the sinners bound, lost, bound by sin, bound by drugs, bound by alcohol, while buying all these things, are going to be set free. If I cannot get excited about that, then I cannot get excited about anything. And that's why today we have got something to rejoice about. We've got something to be glad. We've got something to praise our God for. We've got something to lift up His name. And yes, as the psalmist says, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, because He has done great things, and He will do great things, and He has promised it. And there should be a thrill that comes from our hearts and upon our lips, so that we say that the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. That's His very nature, and the demonstration, the proof of Him being a great God is He does great works. And the great works He does is amongst His people in saving souls. And so we lift His name up in Deuteronomy and chapter 12. It speaks of them going into the promised land, and the need to prepare. And this is obviously a message that goes through the whole of the book of Deuteronomy, and we were seeing that in past times of when we were doing the Bible study, and we're seeing how they were to destroy all the high places and the places that were given up to the gods. And then it says in verse 7, it says this of Deuteronomy chapter 12, it says, "And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God has blessed thee." It's saying that everything you put your hand to in this place of blessing, in this place of rest, everything you put your hand to will be blessed. And it's saying, not only that, but you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand to. And so, as we go out with the gospel, we're rejoicing in it because of what God is doing, what God is going to do. It's a rejoicing because we know that God is going to bless it. We know that God is going to change lives and save souls. He's saying, you've got something to rejoice in. And it's a rejoicing and a gladness now, because everything that you put your hand to is blessed of the Lord, and if it's blessed of the Lord, you can rejoice in it. You can rejoice in the fact that God is going to bless it. To think everything that you put your hand to is blessed. What a place of promise. What a place of rest. What a place of delight. What a place of victory. To be in the place where everything that we put our hand to is blessed. What a wonderful place to be in. And yet we can be in that place where everything we put our hand to is blessed of God. And if everything is blessed of God, we will be rejoicing. We will be rejoicing in the Lord. We'll be rejoicing in Him. We'll be rejoicing because we'll be saying, "Here, I am so glad because look at what God is doing and what God and how God is blessing and how His hand of blessing is upon me, and as my hand reaches out to save, to pluck people out with the gospel, how we reach out to rescue people with the gospel, how we minister to people with an outstretched hand and an open hand." The Lord says, "Everything you do is blessed of me." When you're in that place of sacrifice, of yieldedness, of promise. Because because before that verse, he talks about that sacrifice. And he talks about destroying the altars to the gods and these things. And then in verse 6 it says, and thither you shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. And people sometimes ask, how is it that I can really be knowing that joy of the Lord? How can my heart be flooded with that joy so that I'm really overflowing with the joy and the gladness of the Lord? And I would say it's as simple as this, really. It's as we separate ourselves from the world and offer ourselves up to the Lord. You see, the thing is that it's as we do that, that our hearts will be thrilled with Jesus. It's as we do that, that we will be thrilled with the same things that thrill the angels. That's what will cause our hearts to be rejoicing. That's what will cause our hearts to be full of gladness. It's when we just yield ourselves up completely and offer up our whole lives, everything we are, everything we have, everything we owe, sacrificing it upon the altar before the Lord. And as we do that, our hearts will be rejoicing, and our hearts will be rejoicing in the Lord, and our hearts will be thrilled with the things of God and the things of eternity. In Philippians, and really this is a great book of rejoicing and joy, it speaks of just the separation of the flesh. It talks about of putting to death the flesh, and as we put to death the flesh, then there is a rejoicing that comes our way. And it's as we put to death. And so in verse 3, chapter 3 and verse 3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." He says, we're the ones who rejoice in Christ Jesus. And then he says, and we have no confidence in the flesh. The two are linked. You see, if we have confidence in the flesh, we cannot rejoice in Christ Jesus. If we have confidence in the flesh, in our own strength, in our own ability, if we're having confidence in the flesh because that's what we delight in, just as it says, we are the circumcision. It's there, those who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. It's separation from the world that will cause us to rejoice in the Lord. The two go together, a separation from the world and rejoicing in the Lord. And if we really want to know that thrill and that gladness and a restoration of the gladness that we perhaps once known, and maybe we're feeling a lack of that gladness this morning and a lack of that joy this morning, if we're feeling that, then go back to the Lord and just yield to Him. And let Him flood your heart with Jesus. And take away that flesh and fill your heart with Jesus. Because then you'll be rejoicing and overflowing with a joy in the Lord and a gladness that comes from Him. Your heart will be lifted and your heart will be excited and your heart will be thrilled and you'll just be singing all the day. There'll be a praise upon your lips. You'll just be lifting Him up. And we see just the delight that will be ours as we rejoice in Him. Going back to Joel, it says, the floors shall be full of wheat, and there will be an overflow of wine and oil. Think of it. And then it says, you'll never be ashamed again, and you'll eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. That is the thrill of enjoying and rejoicing in the Lord. It is, and it all comes as that earlier passage talks about, of turning to the Lord, of humbling ourselves before the Lord. As we humble ourselves before the Lord and yielding ourselves before Him and saying He's the one that satisfies my soul, as we do that, we're going to be those who are satisfied. Our hearts will be satisfied. We'll be eating in plenty. We will be feeding upon the Lord Jesus. And we'll be eating in plenty because we will see the reward. We will see the souls being saved. That will be our eating in plenty. That will be the satisfaction that we will have. That we will be satisfied. We will see the storehouse full of souls, the storehouse full of the presence of the Lord and Him in power moving amongst His people. It will be a great storehouse. It will be full of the wine, which is the joy of the Lord. The vats will be the full of the oil, which is the oil of the Holy Spirit. It will be a full. It will be the wheat, it will be the oil, it will be the wine, it will be a rejoicing, and it will be our hearts being satisfied, and us eating and having plenty, and us rejoicing in the Lord. And there is that need just to yield ourselves, and there's that need to press through. Sometimes there's that need just to press through, sometimes we don't take that time just to press through. Sometimes we there isn't that overflow of rejoicing because it's as if we go in just to the outer courts, but we don't press all the way in. And the Lord wants us to press in all the way and to see the great things that He has done and the great things He will do and the promises. To see the Lord as the great God, to see the Lord Jesus as He really is, to join with the angels in rejoicing, to make a joyful noise, to be thrilled in just the presence of Jesus, to know that He's going to satisfy our hearts, and to say, my heart is thrilled with Jesus, my heart is thrilled with what He's about to do. My heart is thrilled with what He has done, and I can't contain it, and I've got to lift up the name of Jesus, and I've got to praise Him, and I've got to exalt Him, and I've got to join with the company of angels in making a great noise to the Lamb. And so let's be those who see that there is that exhortation. It's an encouragement. The Apostle Paul, he was given this encouragement. The psalmist was given this encouragement, and it's saying we can know this. This could be our ever-present experience when we wake up. There's a song on our lips. When we go to bed, there's a song on our lips. As we go about our daily business, there's a song on our lips. Because we've seen God at work, and we've seen God, the God who will work. There's a song, a praise upon our lips and in our hearts, and it overflows. And this is our great, it's our great, the great promise to God, from God to us. It's our great inheritance that we're those that He's saying, this is what I'm giving you. I'm giving you this gladness. I'm giving you this joy. This should be yours. This should be your ever-present experience day by day. And live in the fullness of it. Live in the reality of it. Let's be those who rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.